Gonna be alright, gonna be okay, gonna be alright, gonna be okay, gonna be alright, gonna be okay, gonna be alright. Gonna be alright, gonna be okay, gonna be alright, gonna be okay, gonna be alright, gonna be okay, gonna be alright.
It is a very special treat to kick things off by welcoming a special guest onto the program here today. This is a guy who we have talked to numerous times, countless times in the past. In fact, I didn't even count up how many times we have invited this gentleman on the show before. We've been a big fan and proponent of his music going all the way back to the Woodbelly days. And if you haven't been following this gentleman since the Woodbelly days, then what's wrong with you? We, of course, followed him through his ventures on the television program America's Got Talent and have been anxiously following along with his solo releases ever since then. I'm, of course, talking about the one and only Mr. Cass Haley checking in from the road in Tennessee today. Cass, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I am wonderful. It is always so great to hear your voice. You just kind of bring a positive vibe and a breath of fresh air with you whenever you come around. So I wish it was in person. We've got to talk again in person. It's been years since we have seen each other face to face, but I'm happy to get to talk to you however we get to do it. So thanks for doing this, man.
I miss you too, man.
It's so good. At least we get to reconnect here in front of everybody on the radio over the telephone. So
totally.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about, but I think it's worth mentioning that we do find you on the road, and you're doing kind of things a little bit differently this time around, because as your new album title implies, which is More Music, More Family, you're not just saying that, you're actually living that, because you've got your entire family on the road with you. Is that still the case?
Yeah. We got my wife and my two kids and my mother traveling with us, and then we've got the band as well. So
wow.
There's actually 10 of us right now on the road.
Man.
So we've got a full house or a full car.
I guess so. Well, that's kind of interesting, because that's not typically the way, you know, you would tour. I'm assuming that's not the way you have done things in the past, right?
No, yeah. It's been sort of, you know, your standard, you know, take as few people as you possibly can.
Right.
And, you know, work as hard as you can for, you know, like the way I used to tour would be I'd go out with just the band or myself for, you know, 30 to 60 days and play every night of the week and, you know, go out there and just sort of grind down.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sort of over time that takes its toll on you. And we're trying new things out. You know, I've been inspired to sort of do some experimenting and try some different sort of lifestyles out on the road, because it's so hard anyways. So we're trying to slow the pace down, and we're touring like 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off.
Okay.
And we're trying to play more family-friendly venues and just trying to do things a little bit, you know, more conducive to the family vibe. So.
Well, that's so cool, you know, because I don't know if everybody fully realizes that when they hear that you have a new record out called More Music, More Family. They might just think that that's just a title, but I mean, that's something that you definitely believe in.
Yeah, and I've always considered myself to be a family man, but, you know, it's like, it's so hard to make, you know, your career and your home life not two separate worlds. And,
yeah.
You know, it's like, it's a challenge, and when one of them consumes you, you know, when it's not balanced and it's two totally different worlds, sometimes it just, you know, for me, it was causing a lot of tension, and it was just really hard to keep the family healthy and to keep the vibes right, to keep myself healthy. I was feeling really sort of like I just wasn't enjoying it as much. And all this stuff sort of came to me when I had a hiatus away from singing. I had injured my voice almost 2 years ago is when it actually happened.
That's right.
And I spent a long period of time at home and without music, and I was in therapy for my injury, you know, trying voice therapy and physical therapy. And through that time at home, I realized that, you know, man, there's a different way that I can be going about this, and one that, you know, places the value equally in both carts, you know, and or more so even in the family, of just realizing that that's where my value is, you know, it doesn't have to be this thing that's, you know, going. I don't have to pursue this career in the way that everybody else does. You know,
sure.
I can I can try to do it a little bit different. That's what we're trying out. It's still hard. You know, it's hard for the kids. It's hard for Cassie. It's hard for my mom.
Yeah.
It's hard to be on the road for 2 weeks, no matter what. But
sure.
It definitely is a lot better than having to, you know, miss each other and to not have that time with each other. Because, you know, it's work. This is such a temporary situation, this life here on Earth.
I understand.
So we're trying to spend as much time together as possible.
That's so wonderful. If anybody's just joining us, Cass Haley's checking in on the road in Tennessee, on the way back to Texas, actually. And he's got a gig a little later this week on Thursday night at the Kessler over in Dallas. We'll talk about that before we're done here today. And yeah, you have definitely kind of shown what you're talking about here in the pains of being away from your family. You've kind of put that into song on some of your previous albums, you know, talking about how, I think it's Crazy Good Woman as an example of a song that I presume is about your wife, you know, about how she was doing such a good job of taking care of everything while you were out on the road doing your thing. And now you've just kind of cut out the middleman and just said, you know what, everybody's coming with me. We don't have to be apart. I just think that's such a cool way to do it. And as long as you aren't at each other's throats yet, I think it's a great
time. Come on, that's part of it. You know, but I mean, that's, you know, the reality of it is, it is, like I said, it's still hard. We, you know, it's hard having a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old in the vehicle with us for thousands of miles and trying to fit in homeschooling as well and trying to fit in, you know, trying not to kill ourselves on fast foods.
Right.
You know, and trying to have a healthy diet and all the things and trials of being on the road are definitely hard. But that's why we're trying to space it to where it's like 2 weeks at a time. And, you know, it's been really fun. And, you know, like I said, this is also an experiment, too. I mean, who knows what the future holds? I know we're really enjoying it right now, but, you know, you never know what the next tour will be like.
Of course. Well, no, that's cool. I mean, I think you have always been a guy to kind of carve your own path. As you know, ever since we saw, you know, your decision doing what you did on America's Got Talent, deciding to go your own route as opposed to signing with what they had offered you, you know, you've always been a guy to kind of carve your own path, and I think that's so cool that you're continuing to do that now. You referred to this, and definitely something that we have to talk about is this fact that since we have last spoken, that you did have this voice injury, which is obviously kind of a worst case scenario for a singer. Where, if I understand correctly, I think the doctors basically told you, look, we don't know for certain that you can actually sing again unless you agree to sort of take about a year off from singing. Is that the way that ensued?
Yeah, I mean, they really didn't know what was wrong with me, honestly, at first. It was sort of a freak sort of thing, and, you know, we had to put the puzzle pieces together, and it took me visiting a few different doctors to find one that said, look, I think I know what's wrong here, and I know how you're going to be able to sing again, and you're going to have to relearn how to sing.
Wow.
You're going to have to take voice therapy. You're going to have to take physical therapy, and you're going to have to sort of recalibrate the way that you, you know, it's like relearning how to sing. And
yeah,
because what ended up happening, I was on this ski trip, you know, about in January a couple years ago. It was like, I guess it was January 2014. It was a music festival, ski, snowboarding extravaganza.
Okay.
And it's called Snowball. And we were up there, me and my son were up there at this festival. And I had never really skied before. And I had your normal, like, tumble down the mountain that your normal beginner skier has, except
sure.
I'm a large, large man rolling down the mountain. And, you know, I wasn't, like, injured where I couldn't move or anything. I was sore. But I had no idea that, you know, anything was really, really wrong other than just maybe pulling some, you know, muscles or whatever.
Yeah.
But, so I ended up, you know, we got through the festival and I went home and nothing was wrong at that point in time. I didn't have any indication that, you know, I had lost my voice or anything. I could still talk. I could still sort of sing a little, like I wasn't performing live, but
yeah.
I could sing at home. And so 3 or 4 weeks later, I go on this university tour where I had about a month and a half of dates. So I'm traveling to different universities across the country. And on my first date, when I went to go really project and really perform,
yeah.
I could sing.
Oh, man.
So one thing led to the other. I ended up, you know, canceling the next few tours, and I ended up going on a search to try to find somebody that could help me, you know, figure out what was wrong, because I had a feeling it wasn't my voice, my vocal cords. It was something affecting my voice and my vocal cords. It was something affecting my airflow. So what would happen is when I would go to project, my larynx would close up, like the space in my throat from my air tubes and stuff would almost like close up.
Oh, wow.
Like tension-based sort of stuff. So I went to a few doctors. They tried a few different things. Like they thought my voice might be being affected by, you know, like LPR, which is silent reflux, or anything like that. So we tried all these different things. I ended up getting an appointment with them at the otolaryngologist, which is the voice doctor specialist at UT Southwestern in Dallas. And, you know, they ended up sort of, you know, giving me some answers that, you know, they, at this point in time, I didn't put together the voice problem and the skiing.
Right. No, why would you?
I wasn't hurt, you know, and so she started probing around and asking. She did a scope of my vocal cords and everything was okay there. And then she started asking, well, what has happened? Like, has anything happened to you traumatic over the last 6 months? And I just started going through the thing, you know, different things that could be it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I went skiing for the first time and had pretty, you know, pretty good spills down the mountain. And she's like, you know, and she's like, that could be it. So she's like, what we got to do is we've got to get you into a physical therapist. We got to do some tests and stuff, and we got to see, you know, if there's any nerve damage or what's going on. And I ended up having an old injury in my neck that was basically compounded and just sort of shifted things around to when I would, you know, really try to belt out. And I use a lot of compression when I sang, which was like I compressed a lot of air, and I would control my pitch by singing very loudly, which is what a lot of amateur sort of singers do, and the style of singing I was doing just wasn't conducive with this new problem. It wouldn't work anymore. Whenever I would compress and have that tension to compress that air, it would short circuit my whole system, and it would just close up.
That's so incredible.
Yeah, so one thing led to the other, and I ended up doing, you know, about 8-9 months of voice therapy and physical therapy and acupuncture, and I'm continuing to do voice therapy on my own and all the different things, and I'm still actually working on my issue. It's still, you know, it's like, it's been, you know, a good year and a half since I started doing the voice therapy and the voice exercise and sort of trying to learn this new technique. But it's hard to learn. It's hard to sort of not. I have 20 years of muscle memory.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So it's really hard to like abandon that. Like my muscles still want to do this old way.
Sure,
so
it's like
that's been the challenge. You know,
it's like relearning to drive with your feet or something. You're always going to want to use your hands. It's just
it's real strange because you can see your feet. I mean, you can't see this thing that I'm working on. You know, so it's like this. And I'm having to fill out, and I'm having to do all these weird exercises. And I'm so thankful, though. I mean, I'm really thankful that it happened, too, because it gave me this time to really, you know, hit the reset button.
Yeah.
And to sort of reflect on, you know, how I'm, you know, pursuing my career and what's really right for me personally.
Absolutely.
So, you know, so it's been a really growing experience, and good for the family.
It's amazing how something negative like that can turn out to be something positive. We're talking with Cass Haley this afternoon on 88.9 KETR. This is Notably Texan. We're so glad that you were willing to, you know, actually be that patient and wait that out, because if I were a singer and I was told that I needed to take a year off from doing that and to relearn how to do it, you know, I might just throw my hands up in the air and say, well, maybe I'll just...
what would I do, Matt?
Well, I know what you're saying. You know what I mean? I totally understand, but I
asked myself the same question.
Yeah.
I felt sorry for myself for a good, you know, week or two, and you know, was I cried. I was,
sure.
You know, I was lost. I sort of lost my mind. I lost a big part of who I thought I was when I lost my voice, you know, but that was part of the lesson, too. not over-identifying who I am with what I do, and
definitely
knowing that there's a center, there's something else there that has more value and that is really the true me, and it doesn't have anything to do with singing. And it's something that I think a lot of us do because we spend so much time, you know, doing one thing. If you get too over-involved in your career and you lose it, then it's like a life crisis.
Yeah, no doubt.
But it's like I just didn't, you know, I've always been really optimistic, and it shows in my music. I mean, I play music that's centered in hope and
yes,
centered in, you know, overcoming adversity and centered in optimism and stuff. And it comes from being in a lot of dark places throughout my life, but I've always been blessed with this ability to see good things in the future. So, you know, it took me a week or two to get over that, and then I was like, you know, what else can I do? I mean, I could get into construction, which I enjoy, but
right,
I just felt like it wasn't over, and I felt like, you know, that this was still my purpose. This was still partially, you know, this was how I was gonna still move on. So I give it to God on having the ability to see that stuff. It's definitely a blessing, and I'm so glad I stuck with it. And, you know, now it's like I'm sort of looking at things in a different way. Where if, you know, who knows, man? You know, I'm gonna play music as long as it feels right.
Well, that's good. That's the only thing you can do, you know? I mean,
in the past, I would have said, I'm going to play music forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's changed, where I've realized that all things come to an end and all things change. So, you know, it's just, it's been really dynamic and been really great, actually.
Well, that's amazing, man, and I appreciate you opening up about that. That's a really interesting story, and we're so glad that you are sticking with it. I've got Cass Haley on the telephone with me here, and he is on the road in Tennessee en route to Texas because he's got a gig a little bit later this week at the Kessler, in fact. This is coming up on Thursday night, right, Cass?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, we'll be at the Kessler on Thursday night. On Wednesday, we'll actually be in Conroe at the Do-Si-Do this Wednesday.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's down around Houston.
Yeah, and then we'll be, I think you're listening there, we'll be in Paris, Texas on Sunday, the 20th, at That Guy's Coffee.
Oh, excellent. Right back at home there.
Yeah, we'll on that Friday. Well, we'll also be in San Antonio and Austin, too.
You never know. Somebody might be heading to visit family in San Antonio, so they might want to know that you're going to be there.
But I guess the priorities for this group is the Kessler on this Thursday the 17th, and Paris on the 20th, Paris, Texas, at That Guy's Coffee.
Awesome. So, and that's always cool to play. I know you play That Guy's Coffee regularly whenever you can and when you're back here in the area. Is that going to be kind of a holiday-oriented show there, or is that just
Okay. Yeah, I have some good friends that are joining me, a couple other local singer-songwriters, Chris Lancaster, who is a part of this band called the Triptones.
Oh, yeah,
is going to come in and do a little set, and then a Dallas singer-songwriter, it's a good friend of mine by the name of Colin Hauser, is also going to be a part of that show, and
cool,
we're all going to be doing some Christmas songs, along with the guy, my good friend Ryan Eldridge, who plays keys on all my records.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be doing a set as well.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, Christmas theme sort of night on the 20th, and then the Kessler's going to be our regular show.
Gotcha. That is awesome. So you're, of course, all of this is out in support of your new album, More Music, More Family, which is out now, and you're on a new label now. I thought it was worth pointing out that this Mailboat Records is there's a pretty famous guy who's associated with that album or that label, isn't there?
Yeah, it's actually Jimmy Buffett's label.
Yeah.
it's really neat, you know, that we were able to hook up with them and release a record on his label. I mean, it's such a cool artist friendly label too, man. He's really set it up to where it supports the artist that he releases and stuff like that.
Oh, nice.
I really enjoyed being involved with him. So.
Well, that's important, you know. I know that's always been important to you, is not just getting kind of ground up by the machine. You want to do things the way you want to do them, and I'm assuming that this is the label that's still allowing you the freedom that you want and obviously is getting you the attention that you need. They've got you out on the road pretty hardcore right now.
Yeah, man, yeah. Totally. They've been great.
Well, that's wonderful, man. Well, you are always great. It is such a treat to speak with you every time, man. And we got to make this happen in person, maybe early next year or something. We can find a time to get you down the road from Paris and stop into the KETR studios again.
Definitely, for sure, man. Just let me know when.
I would love to do that, and we would be remiss if we didn't play a cut from your new album, More Music, More Family. I happen to have the title cut ready to go here, More Music, More Family. Anything we need to know about this one before I play it and release you back into
the
wild?
Man, this one's sort of the story of me refining my purpose with, you know, my center being the value I find in family. It's sort of self-explanatory, but yeah, this one's really special to me.
Well, the whole album is special to all of us, if I do dare say. I told you off the air here, but I wasn't just blowing smoke. I am a huge fan of every thing that you do, man, and I hope that you continue down this crazy musical path of yours. And we're just so lucky to have you as a local guy who's doing such big things out there. Cass, thank you so much for spending some time with me today.
Matt, thank you, man.
So many different kinds of people. So many stories to be told. So many ways to say I love you. So tell somebody you don't know. 'Cause we could all be gone by tomorrow. Just like a flickering flame. So if you get the chance to follow your heart, go ahead and hop aboard that train.
Hope you've enjoyed this production of 88.9 KETR. Don't miss Notably Texan weekdays from noon to 3 on listener-supported 88.9 KETR.